Marcus Agrippa, the legacy of Marcus Agrippa. The men who immediately followed Nero, that would be Galba, Otho, Vitellius, and Vespasian, were keen to distance themselves from the dynasty of Augustus and his associate. It was the Flavian Emperor Titus who finally resurrected the glories of the nation's Julio-Claudian past in a series of restoration coins, which began to appear from 79 or 80 AD. Among these great Romans was Agrippa, highlighting the fact that even 90 years after his death, the man still had a reputation worth celebrating. The engraver of the new coin chose as his model the as of Augustus, or Tiberius, or Caligula's time, with the left-facing Agrippa wearing his combined Corona Murata and Corona Navalis on the obverse, and the image of Neptune with his trident on the other side, with the addition of an inscription honoring the new emperor. He reproduced the same physical features, the stern gaze, the thick eyebrows, and the double chin, and even the inscription of the original. It is only on the reverse that the name of Titus is discreetly revealed. His brother Domitian, who succeeded him in 81 AD, continued the issue of his own reign. It was in Domitian's time that the first of many disasters struck Agrippa's masterpieces. A fire is recorded as destroying part of the Pantheon, as well as the Thermae Agrippa in 80 AD. Work to rebuild them, presumably on the original appearance, was carried out. Lightning struck the Pantheon when Trajan was emperor from 98 to 117, and the fire which ensued destroyed the building. For several years, it stood as a ruin. In 126 AD, Trajan's successor, Hadrian, 117 to 138, undertook not only to rebuild, but to transform the Pantheon. The building with its enormous concrete dome, which still stands, is the building of Hadrian. Some parts of the old structure, notably the podium, were incorporated into the new construction. Hadrian did not claim credit for the final building, but in keeping with his own policy, acknowledged the original builder and had the great bronze letters with M. Agrippa's name mounted in the frieze below the pediment. Hadrian held at least one meeting of his court and advisors in the new Pantheon. Finishing touches on the building may have been added during his successor's reign, since a restoration of the Temple Agrippa is mentioned in the Historia Augustus biography by Antoninus Pius. Further repairs were carried out by Septimus Servius and his son Caracalla in 202 AD. Even in Ammianus Messalinus' time, it was considered one of the wonders of the world, and it was visited in person Constantius II, 317 to 361, in the spring of 357. In the intervening years, the great open space of the Campus Martius became crowded with buildings as the emperors competed to build bigger than their predecessors, and the needs of a growing metropolis consumed the available free space. Only the northwest part of the ancient field of Mars remained open and were undeveloped. Even here, however, the line of sight view of from the doors of the Pantheon to the mausoleum of Augustus, which Agrippa had carefully conceived as part of the overall design of his park, became obscured by a colonnaded space built in front of it. Under Augustus, the Dilibitorium was finally finished and officially opened. In the mid-first century AD, Pliny the Elder marveled at its immense size, listing it beside the Circus Maximus, built by Julius Caesar, the Basilica of Paulus, and the Forum of Augustus and Vespasian's Temple of Peace as the greatest buildings in Rome of his day. It might even have pushed the limits beyond Roman's technical capabilities. Repairs had to be made to it in Pliny the Elder's own lifetime. In writing 150 years later, Dio reported that indeed, now the whole covering had been destroyed. The edifice is wide open to the sky since it was put back together again. A fate which also befell the Odeon in Athens, the roof of which collapsed in 150 AD. The vast colonnaded Septa Julia, erected by Agrippa, had since become a popular place for Romans to lounge and dawdle. Once intended for the assembly of Roman voters exercising their democratic rights, it had been quickly turned into an entertainment complex for public spectacles. Before the Flavian Amphitheater, that is the Colosseum, was built, gladiatorial combats were staged there, and the central space was occasionally flooded so it could be transformed into a pool for mock naval battles. Bazaars were held on the ground where once ballots were cast. Damaged by fires, it was also subject to repairs under Domitian and Hadrian, but it is mentioned as still standing in the 3rd century. Agrippa's great aqueducts continued to bring water into the city long after its status as cap of the Roman world passed to Constantinople. The Emperor Constantine arranged for necessary repairs to be carried out to the structures of the Aqua Virgo. When Rome was besieged by the Goths in 537, they first broke sections of the aqueduct to cut off the water supply, then attempted to enter the city via the subterranean tunnel. The structure is mentioned in documents dating from late antiquity to the Middle Ages and is known to have been repaired by Pope Adrian I, 772 to 795. Pope Nicholas V, 1447 and 1455, made much-needed repairs and extended it to the Trevi Fountain, which was envisioned in its present form by Italian architect Niccolo Salvi in 1744, but finished 18 years later by Giuseppe Panini. In a salute to the Roman Commissioner of Public Works, Panini had Agrippa represented in full military panoply with the spirit of Trivia, the source of the water, in the two allegorical panels which appear between the columns above the statues. Interest in Agrippa waned over the centuries. He was rediscovered during the Age of Enlightenment. In many ways, he was a man made for the Age of Reason, a rational thinker, interested in advancing knowledge through the application of science in architecture and military affairs, a promoter of cultural life and a reformer of society. The first modern account of his life appeared in 1717 in Leipzig, Germany, as De M. Agrippa, written in Latin by George Christian Gaubauer, 1690-1773, and Friedrich Wilhelm von Sommersberg, 1698-1756. Other single-volume accounts appeared frequently over the next 200 years with the emergence of German nationalism and an eagerness to better understand the ancient world and its lessons for the modern. In the 20th century, his life has been most comprehensively documented by Rudolf Daniel, 1933, Meyer Reinhold, 1933, and John Michael Rodas, 1984. Whereas the lives of the Caesar have been biographed and fictionalized in thousands of volumes, and in some cases have even become household names, Augustus's right-hand man was largely left in the footnotes of popular history. He is not a tale of a deception or corruption, but a dutiful service, and thus is one lacking in salacious details craved by some. Where Agrippa has been represented on stage or television, he has been a bit part. He's one of several minor characters in William Shakespeare's Antony and Cleopatra, appearing for the first time in Act II, where he proposes, apologetically, a marriage between Antony and Octavia. Concludes with the words, "Pardon what I have spoke, for 'tis a studied, not a present thought, but duty ruminated." Yet he is presented as a schemer and an instrument in Octavius' plan to bring down his adversaries. His language is plainer than Maecenas, who also appears in the play. By Act 3, he is dispatched to lead his army against Antony and returns with news of victory. In the final act, utters the pithy complaint about the fallen commander. Marcus Agrippa was introduced to modern filmgoers, Hollywood epic Cleopatra. The British-American-Swiss epic drama, directed by Joseph Mankiewicz, was an adaptation of the book by Carlo Marina Fazzero entitled The Life and Times of Cleopatra, a work of nonfiction. Agrippa, played by actor Andrew Keir, was introduced first as an admiral under Julius Caesar, and later under Octavian, played by Roddy McDowall. The producer decided to present Agrippa as a much older man than Octavian and one sporting a beard, neither facts being true of the historical person. While scenes of the Battle of Actium recreated its high drama, complete with flaming ballista bolts, the producers played fast and loose with the facts. Following Shakespeare rather than returning to Italy, Agrippa is depicted anachronistically as taking part in the final demise of Cleopatra in Egypt. The film, controversial for the antics of its two leading actors during production, were reported to be the highest-grossing film of 1963, earning $26 million. $57.7 million in total at the box office, yet made an overall loss due to its cost of $44 million, making it the only film ever to be the highest grossing film of the year and not make a profit. Agrippa is a central character in the early chapters of the novel I, Claudius, a first-person crime story by Robert Graves, who created it from a pastiche of Dio, Suetonius, and Tacitus with a large dose of poetic license. In the first episode of Jack Pullman's 1976 screen adaptation for BBC, Her Masterpiece Theater, Agrippa was played by the noted actor John Paul as a close but irascible friend feeling sidelined by the up-and-coming and much younger Marcellus. His exclamation, quote, "I am getting tired of being told the arts of war by kids who only have just learned to piss in a pot," end of quote, is a memorable line from the monumental television series. Although the actor at 55 was older than the age of the character he portrayed, who was actually 41 in that part of the story, he conveyed a real sense of hard-working, plain-talking, but sentimental friend who wears his feelings on his sleeve. In a more recent BBC HBO drama, Rome, Agrippa, played by the talented young Irish actor Alan Leach, is portrayed as the man who helps Octavius in the uncertain years immediately following Julius Caesar's assassination and falls hopelessly in love with his friend's sister. Liberties may have been taken with the history, but he was in real life the fictional character of Agrippa, who is never far away from the man he faithfully serves and always ready to do his bidding. So that kind of takes Agrippa from ancient times to modern times. Now the sources for this, The Lives of the Caesars by Suetonius, The Annals of Imperial Rome by Tacitus, 12 Caesars by Grant, Marcus Agrippa, Right-Hand Man of Caesar Augustus by Powell, and The Caesar's Wives Above Suspicion by Perron. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.